Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Welcome back. This is Marilyn York, and you're listening to The Marilyn York Show. If you want to call in with questions, as they just stated on the promo, 823-1920. 823-1920 is the phone number. And this week, we have Kim Surratt in the studio. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
She is a local attorney and colleague of mine, and she specializes in, I'm sure you'll say it better than me, but she does a lot of the surrogacy and adoption and domestic partnership stuff. What do you specialize in your world? Say, give me the right terms.
Being careful with the word specialize in,
yeah,
our,
that's
in
right.
our profession.
If the bar is listening.
The bar, yeah. Assisted reproductive technology.
Right. There we go.
Is really what it is.
So if you guys have questions, 823-1920, we're going to talk about domestic partnership registry, surrogacy, and adoption with same-sex or LBGT spin. Kim, tell the lovely folks listening what LBGT stands for. And many of you know, but some that don't. What does that stand for?
Well, there's many variations of that. Some say GLBT. There's some new acronyms that they're adding to the end of that now. But gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender area of law. Some are adding a Q to the end now for queer law.
Why is queer different than gay?
I've been doing this for years, and I can't keep up with the acronyms. But
if you guys are listening and you have some commentary on why the Q is added, please enlighten both Kim and myself, because I'm dying to know. 823-1920. Okay, so we have these subjects, and we're going to talk about them, and they certainly overlap with heterosexuals, and we will do honorable mention for heteros, but we get enough, you know, attention in the world. So I'm going to do sort of a same-sex spin or LBGTQ spin. So I just saw in the news, and this is sort of cutting edge, that student in Mississippi who was canceled the prom because she tried to bring a date that was female. And I looked it up this morning, and they have her listed as Sean Cummings, S-E-A-N, or Candace McMillan. Like, these are similar names. No one knows her name. I don't know. But apparently there was a student in Mississippi who selfishly attempted to go to the prom with her girlfriend, and they canceled the entire prom, and then shortly thereafter were sued. So it is a cutting edge topic, and obviously prejudice still exists. We had a seminar in Ely, Nevada. Yeah, that's right. Last week for family law, and we discussed this subject at nauseam. And we had a demographics person come in, a gay demographer, mm-hmm. and gave us all the statistics. So that was actually fascinating. So I have some of those today. So we'll kind of go through those. But let's talk about domestic partnerships first, because that's a new area, is it not, that Nevada now allows a registry for as of what,
October 1st, 2009. Last legislative session is when we passed the domestic partnership bill.
So what exactly do they do as domestic partners? What do you have to do to qualify as a domestic partnership in order to be able to register?
The qualifications are minimal, but technically you pull down a form from the Secretary of State. The Nevada Secretary of State is the one dealing with all the domestic partnerships.
Okay.
But our statute provides minimum requirements. You have to be the basic same requirements as getting married, which is you got to be 18. You can't be a minor child entering into a domestic partnership. You've got to be in a committed relationship with somebody, and you're going to state that to the Secretary of State that that's what you are.
Don't they have to cohabit, live together, in other words? I read that was the requirement, and I was laughing. Like, okay, so all the Christian groups that are already pissed off about this can be even more mad that
they're already cohabitating.
Yeah, before they're quote-unquote registered, i.e. married equivalent.
Yeah, you're going to tell the Secretary of State that that's what you are doing.
Okay.
If you're going to enter into a domestic partnership, it's like getting married. So you should be careful anyways. And that if you're willing to marry someone, you should be willing to do a domestic partnership, vice versa. So be ready.
So are the benefits the same as marriage if you're a domestic partnership and you register? And again, this is something that same sex or hetero couples can do that are not married, correct? It's not limited to same sex.
No, you can be heterosexual and register as domestic partners. And actually, that sets us aside from any other state in the United States, which is unusual. California has it where you can be heterosexual, but you have to be a certain age limit. In Nevada, there's no age limit.
Age limit? Like you can't be
over? You have to be over, I think it's 60 or 62 in California in order to register. It has to do with Medicare benefits and the termination of them and some different federal benefits like that.
Huh, that's pretty interesting.
But back to your original question, you know, we're very excited about the domestic partnership bill. It's yay, we've finally got some rights for them. But no, it's not 100% everything that a heterosexual couple would get out of marriage.
Well, I had read or heard in the conference that they can't force insurance companies to provide insurance to domestic partners, but it basically says if the insurance company is willing, then the domestic partnership registry will trigger them for insurance benefits. But
that's
they can't
accurate.
Impose it on the actual insurance company or the employer if they make that
right.
limitation.
I lobbied this bill at the legislature, and that was one of the negotiation tools. In order to get the bill passed, we had to start doing some limitations on insurance. Part of that had to do with the fiscal note for the state.
Okay.
In this economic times right now. But yeah, the insurance is limited. And the other thing you have to be excessively careful about is that this is Nevada. It's Nevada domestic partnership. It's not a federal recognition. The federal government will not recognize your Nevada domestic partnership. So tax benefits, filing your federal tax as married is not going to happen.
Oh, okay.
You're going to lose certain, you're not going to qualify for certain federal benefits. Some will if they don't, if it's not about being married, depending on what the requirement is under the federal government. But things like the military, don't ask, don't tell, doesn't change.
Okay.
You have to be very careful about some of that stuff.
823-1920, 823-1920, if you're listening, this is the Marilyn York Show, and we have Kim Surratt on talking about registration of domestic partners at the moment. If you guys have some experiences or some questions about this particular area, please call in and let us know or share your stories with us, because this is very exciting, I know. And isn't it true, Kim, that it's pretty rare, and only like the West Coast, I believe, has a registration for domestic partners in a few states? Like, it's not at all nationwide yet that this is allowed.
It's not nationwide, but times are changing. I mean,
yeah.
If you look at just the 2000s and what has changed across the United States and which states are starting to pick up, there's different languages. Some call it civil union. Some call it domestic partnerships. We've just got different variations across the United States. But if you look at the trend in the number of states that are changing in that direction and recognizing some form of relationship there, it's dramatic. But yes, on the West Coast, you're pretty much looking at California and Nevada as the primary states.
So we will not be canceling prom here, I don't think, with the new registry.
Well, no, because there are discrimination provisions within that registry, too, within that new statute. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice to see. Dissolution of the registration. You indicated that it's somewhat similar to marriage, and so people should be hesitant about entering the union lightly. What do you have to do to dissolve it? Are there different parameters depending on whether there's kids or property?
What yeah, well, we have two versions of termination. You can go at any time, no matter what, down to... Theoretically, our family court, we've got a new case out with the Supreme Court that's raising some questions there. But you file for a divorce, which is really just a termination of your domestic partnership. There's also a shortcut provision within the statute that's a 5-year. If your domestic partnership is under 5 years, you have no children, you have no property issues, or you sign off saying that you have no property disputes whatsoever, you can do a shortcut termination through the Secretary of State office.
I think I read that
form.
It was like $20 and yeah. You just file your dissolution of
it's
it.
It's cheaper.
Basically.
It's a quick form and you file your dissolution. We borrowed that from California. California has the same thing.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's the cheapest divorce I've ever heard of.
Especially in our world.
Even the filing fee. So what has this done to benefit, let's say, adoptions? What benefit do you derive from registration as a domestic partner as far as adopting children?
That's probably the number one exciting area, at least for me, because that's the area I've been struggling with for years now in my profession, dealing with helping family formation and helping families who have children that are same-sex couples. The adoptions are a piece of cake now. We just run in and we get them. All of our judges up in here in Reno, at least, each area of Nevada kind of operates slightly different, as you know very well. But in Reno, they're treating them like step-parent adoptions, where home studies can be waived if the child is already officially the child of one of the partners. If
oh, okay.
both of them are adopting out of the system, like out of foster care, then they need to go through all the typical adoption procedures, a home study, and investigation and report.
What's the home study entail exactly? Have you seen them done?
I've talked to a lot of clients about them. I've never seen them done myself.
Are they very
thorough?
Because
we don't get to see the reports at the end. Those are filed confidentially with the with the court, with the judges. Okay. But they're extremely thorough. They're down to whether or not you have locks on your medicine cabinet in your bathroom, whether you have a certain size of fencing around your swimming pool in the backyard, all the
alcohol
safety.
Access.
Where's the alcohol?
Poisons.
Where's all the poisons? Exactly.
And do you help people get ready for that so that they know if they're coming to you to do an adoption, like these are the things they're looking for? So, you know, get your house ready safety wise if you have an infant, or age appropriate safety, you know, measures. If you have a teenager, no oxycodone, people. OK, no
exactly.
Pill parties.
I do. I focus more within my office on the do you have any skeletons in your closet? If you have any crimes in your past, do you have any felonies, any misdemeanors? I'm going to have a lot more intensive work with you about, okay, the best thing you can do is be upfront. Just disclose it. Disclose it now. Tell them. Don't hide it, because it's worse when they find out that you didn't tell them about something that is there.
Do they drug test as part of these background checks if they have some reason to be suspicious?
You know, it would have to be consensual. They'd have to consent to it. But if you don't consent to it, well, you're just...
And they're suspicious. They'd probably say so in the report.
Then you're just not going to get a good report. And
Not an adoption, presumably.
And if you're in that circumstance where they're suspicious and want to do a drug test of you before you can adopt, we may need to reassess your entire process of adopting anyways and figure out what your game plan is and what's going on.
No adoption subsidies. Does Nevada have an adoption subsidy? California does, where people get money.
There's a bunch of, you get your money back, and there's a sliding fee scale for home studies, and there's a bunch of different things.
Okay. We're going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the demographics of the same-sex couples in Nevada and who's having children and how often this is an issue. And then we'll move on to more of the surrogacy, assisted reproductive law, and adoptions. 823-1920 for those of you holding. Sit tight, and we'll get to you after the break.
The new home for the Bill Handel Show, 1270 The Buzz.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with t-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
Adam and Nina Rotello have a lot to figure out about managing their spending.
He takes care of the finances, but I meddle.
She wants to know what's going on.
Everybody should know what's going on. That's why State Farm agents are there with a free discount double check to make sure drivers are getting the discounts they deserve, like 17% for combining car and home policies.
Basically, when you get a good deal, you win.
We want to win.
State Farm agents call that being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket. Talk to one today. State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state.
The Corey Farley Show moves to our sister station, 1230 KJFK. Corey Farley on 1230 KJFK.
Weekdays at 3.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and we have Kim Surratt in the studio. We are talking basically LGBTQ, whatever, topics, such as registration and domestic partnership, surrogacy, and assisted reproductive and adoption issues. If you have a rainbow sticker on your car, and I know all of you that do, get your butts on the phone and call in, Mr. and Mrs. Outspoken, and now you guys are going to be quiet. 823-1920. We want to hear your stories or your questions on the subject. You got some hetero girls in the studio giving you guys a shout out. So, okay, the only two non-gay people that are totally interested in this subject and on your side. So let's talk about it. And let's talk about demographics first, because as I stated, we had the demographer come to Ely and there was some interesting information. It's fairly old because the census is so expensive and worthwhile that they do it every 10 years. So I have some 2000 statistics. Apparently, there were 4,973 same-sex couples living in Nevada as of the year 2000, and the majority of those, of course, are in Clark County, but we have a huge population in Washoe County, otherwise known as Reno. And of interest is how many of those couples are having children or want children or have children. And so we have statistics about that as well, which was pretty interesting and surprising to me, I would say. Apparently, 26% of same-sex couples in Nevada are raising children under the age of 18. And again, this is a old statistic, so certainly it's increased, if anything, since 2000 when it was last taken. They do have a more current, as of 2005, an estimated 2,917 of Nevada's children are living in households headed by same-sex couples. So this is a very significant issue, particularly in a limited population like we have, which is why Kim Surratt's business is a booming. If you'd like to use her services or have a consultation with her, you can check her website out at Surratt Law, and it's SurrattLaw.com. And or call today, 823-1920. In the meantime, let's move on to surrogacy as a concept. What are the options in surrogacy, Kim, as far as using a surrogate and the surrogate's egg, borrowing an egg, using your own egg? Give me the medical lowdown, and then we'll talk about the legal impact of those.
Okay.
Differences.
The biggest difference, you'll hear about traditional surrogacies versus gestational carrier agreements or gestational carriers. A gestational carrier is not using their own egg. They're using a third party donated egg, either a third party donated egg or one from one of the intended parents. We call the intended parents the two individuals who will ultimately be the parents of the child. The traditional surrogacy, the surrogate, the one that's carrying the baby, is actually using their own egg. And that's very rare in Nevada. We try to stay away from it across the United States.
Why do you try to stay away from it? Is there a legal ramification? Like, that's the mother in a custody battle, for example? Yeah.
If you look on the internet, you'll see things about the Baby M case, which was the original big controversial case that for surrogacy that was in the United States. And it was a traditional surrogate. And you're just running a little bit of a higher risk with the surrogate saying, I'm biologically related to this child and I want my child. When the surrogate has absolutely no, we changed language, but a lot of people still use the word surrogate. But when the gestational carrier has no biological relationship whatsoever to the child, you have a much more distinguished line. It's not so gray, where it's easier to say you don't have any biological link to this child. So no.
Who are these women that are offering up the wombs for this service? Because I, having had several children and you as well, it sucks.
I didn't like being pregnant at all.
Being pregnant for someone else, at least at the end, I'm like, okay, I had a kid. I got something out of this. I mean, it must pay well. What does it pay on average, if you could estimate?
Well, to go through this using torture. The word pay, you've got to be careful about in Nevada, but they often will receive $20,000 to $30,000, depending on the state, depending on their experience level. They receive more money, the more experience they have. These women do this more than once. They do it over and over. You've met them when you've been out with your kid. You know, these women, when you go to these children things, who just love being pregnant.
And thank God, though, for the couples that need the surrogacy. I mean, thank God there's women willing to do it. But, I can't imagine. And I'd want, like, do you get like an extra $10 a stretch mark, or like my boob sagged 3 inches? I get like a, you know, $10,000 bonus for that.
Not usually for that area. Although I have built into contracts plastic surgery requirements after the fact, different allowances for that.
Okay, fair enough. So, okay, we were talking about, and then, so you're recommending legally to use a surrogate and not that person's egg. The donated egg scenario is the cleanest legal transaction.
I'd recommend staying away from traditional surrogacy, yes.
Does Nevada have any services or companies that provide names of surrogates, or, you know, as a business locally, do we have any of those anymore?
Oh, there's a couple. There's not any that I'm willing to recommend anymore. There's been some recent issues. One company went under. It was a California-based company that was a franchise where the CEO was embezzling funds out of the company, and the entire franchise nationwide went down. Right now, ouch. I don't highly recommend any of the Nevada ones.
I assume there's California options.
There's lots of California options.
And some of those are good, hopefully.
Growing generations. Speaking of domestic partnership arena, there's a company in Los Angeles called Growing Generations that specializes in same-sex assisted reproductive work and surrogacies.
Okay.
So I highly recommend them.
Okay. So we have surrogacies. And is it common that, like, a gay couple, you know, two males or two females, would want to use a donated sperm, donated egg from, like, one of the partners and perhaps a family member of the other partner so that they have a familial, you know, relationship to the child on both sides of the couple? Is that a common thing that you would see?
It is for gay men in surrogacies. With gay women, it's a little different scenario. With our lesbians, they're oftentimes one of them's able to carry, so you're not necessarily using a donated egg, but you're definitely obviously using donated sperm or third-party sperm.
And so will they use sperm of like the brother or the uncle or the somebody related to the
other? Sometimes they will. Again, it's similar to the traditional surrogacies, where if you don't have to use a known sperm donor or a known egg donor, I recommend you don't. So if you can stay away from it, you're just upping your legal probability of not having problems.
Do you know what it pays to donate an egg? Because that is another thing that I'm kind of, I don't understand as an individual, like, oh, I feel like donating some eggs.
I've seen women receive between $18,000 to $22,000 right in there.
Oh my God. Is it a invasive process?
It is.
I have a couple eggs. I'm sure just hanging out right now.
It's nowhere near as invasive as carrying a baby for nine months for somebody, though.
These are my choices. I think bang for your buck, you get way more for your money on the egg donation as far as, you know, the options go. What about donating sperm? Do you know what that pays? Because that's about the laziest person's donation ever.
You know, you and I were talking about that. I've never looked into how much they receive for that.
Mansers. I watch Mansers. It said it was like $600 a pop. That would be a lie. I know that's a lie. I think last week we were talking about it, and I talked about it with Dr. Folk in his office, and I think he told me it was like $100. You know,
that would make more sense to me. Otherwise, you'd see guys lining up miles down the road for $600 just for that.
Seriously, to get paid to jerk off. I mean, really. Okay, Jeff, on line one, you have a question for Ms. Surratt or myself?
Yeah, actually. My sister is gay, and she wants to adopt a child. And I was wondering if you could talk to me about what the difficulties are in adopting when you are when you're a lesbian.
Is she single or in a relationship?
No, she's in a relationship, and they do have a domestic partnership.
Okay,
a domestic partnership here in Nevada.
Yes.
Okay. Well, they're in good shape. They're able to adopt. The best thing they could do is start aligning themselves with Washoe County Social Services, for example, and either becoming foster parents in order to find a child, or it depends on what they want, or if they're seeking infants. You know, it's not any different for domestic partners as it is for heterosexual couples in terms of if you're seeking out a healthy infant who was just born, it's a longer waiting line than it is for an older child who may be considered high risk and have other issues. But
are they trying to adopt the child together, both of them be the adopted parents?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Well, that's good. The first thing I recommend to them is to register. Our judges have made it very clear to us they have to register as domestic partners if both are going to adopt. One can always adopt unilaterally without any problems. We've never had a problem in our state with one person adopting just because they're gay has not excluded them even before the domestic partnership bill.
I was going to ask that if there was still some prejudice in certain adoption
there forms. May be in rural Nevada with some of our rural judges, but we haven't seen it in Washoe and Clark County at all.
Okay. What about certain adoption agencies outside social services? If you go through a traditional agency, have you seen any prejudice personally in your practice?
I've seen a little bit of it as far as their testimony at the legislature when I was trying to get the Uniform Parentage Act passed and when we were dealing with the domestic partnership bill because I lobbied it at the legislature. My personal opinion is that stick with Washoe County Social Services. Their adoption agency is top notch. I've had zero problems with them, and they're doing my same sex adoptions left and right.
Thanks for the call,
That's
Jeff.
Great. Yeah, thank you.
We have an internet question too that I will read to you. It says, I'm a gay woman who was married to a man for 10 years. We have two children together, ages 5 and 3. I left my husband and I'm now in a relationship with a woman. Will the fact that I'm gay impact my custody battle in our divorce? My husband is very bitter about what he calls my switching sides in the middle of the game and intends to use everything he can against me.
Well, the first part of this is the same analysis you and I do with every client that walks in our office, Marilyn, which is, who's the judge?
Yeah.
Where have you filed? Because it shouldn't. Under our laws, it absolutely should not impact. And there's enough research out there now that I haven't had a problem with any of our judges here in Washoe County, for example. Every one of them has been very willing to put that on the back burner. They don't want to hear about it. They don't consider it as a factor in custody. But you always have to stop and say what judge and whether or not there's any internal background behind them, bias that they may have that will cause them to decide differently.
I've had two cases that come to mind with similar situations where it did matter. In one, I had two same-sex women in Fernley, Nevada, and two teenage children involved. And the children were extremely upset by the fact of their mother entering into a same-sex relationship and sort of traumatized by mom being publicly open in her relationship change and the fact that she would come to the school and in the kids' words, make out with her girlfriend while waiting for the child to come to the vehicle, which was really hard socially on the child, particularly in the town of Fernley being small. And so in that instance, it was an issue and we argued best interest of the child because the child was upset and didn't want to live with mom. And I think there was more to the story, but that was one of the cases that comes to mind.
Didn't you and I have that case together?
I don't think so.
Ultimately we did.
Maybe. I was like, I don't even remember how it was decided. I just remember the kid being upset and in my office. And yeah. Then I had another case where there was a fraud issue where husband and wife had been married for like 15 years. She finally convinced him to put her house that he'd owned separately into joint name. And then like 3 months after that, which was 14 or 15 years into their relationship, she decides she likes women. And so I had her on the stand in front of one of the judges who's religious, ironically, and the whole high school of Reno High was there watching, talking about when she first decided she was attracted to women, when they first kissed, all the things that would normally be irrelevant, because I was arguing that she certainly knew at the time she convinced him to put the name and joint title that she was, you know, attracted to women. And he's a right-wing Christian, and that would have been a deal breaker in their marriage, and ultimately was. And so it was an interesting issue, and I actually won because, you know, So,
well, on the custody end of it, it's not any different from the analysis that we go through with affairs. With
anybody. If it impacts the kid,
how
absolutely.
The affair impacts the kid. It's different from saying you're gay, thus you can't be a parent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That analysis cannot come into the picture, and it should not
come into
the picture.
Not in Washoe.
I've never seen it in Washoe County whatsoever. And that case that you were talking about, actually, I know for sure it was the case you and I had. And ultimately, it all worked out just fine.
Yeah, just the transition can be hard on
kids. The transition can be hard.
Absolutely.
But we have to, you know, you have to take all that into consideration. We take that into consideration, you know, an often forgotten topic for family law attorneys is when it's the children themselves that are transitioning and coming out and what needs they have in the custody matter.
Let's talk about that after the break. We got to hear from our sponsors again, but 823-1920. 823-1920 is the phone number. If you guys give us a call and hold on the line for a few minutes, we will answer your questions. This is the Marilyn York Show, and we'll talk to you in a minute.
1270, The Buzz.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse, throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
And now for the bonus round. Pandora has a box. What does Fred have?
Change for a 20.
Correct. Cat got your tongue. Who's got your back?
Detective Flanagan.
Correct.
All right.
What's the newest way Netflix delivers movies?
That's easy. Instantly. Right to your TV.
Correct! Yeah. Netflix now delivers movies two ways. Instantly to your TV, plus DVDs by mail. Watch as many TV episodes and movies as you want for only $9 a month. Netflix!
See terms of use.
Talk radio that's live and local, and not so much with a negative. Refreshing, huh? Join Panama weekdays from 9 to noon on 1270 The Buzz.
On the Marilyn York Show, and we have Kim Surratt in the studio, attorney and I can't say specialist in the area of assisted reproductive. And we are talking today about, well, we're about to get to adoption, but we talked about surrogacy and registration of domestic partnership. If you want to call in with your questions, 823-1920, you have a few minutes left to do so. We have like 20 minutes, so get on the phone, 823-1920. And we had just talked before the break about the issue of kids coming out of the closet, shall we say, in marriages and that impact in, say, a custody battle. What was your thought on that subject, Kim? Because you had mentioned it.
The main thing is just taking into consideration how the parents are dealing with it. Because whether the if the parents themselves are gay, it's usually not an issue. They know how to deal with it. They have
Absolutely.
To do it themselves. But when you have parents who are not and their child is coming out and they don't know how to deal with it, how they deal with it and their reaction to it can impact their custody decisions also.
Have you seen that particular instance causes the divorce? Like if one parent can't accept a child coming out and the other parent can, or neither parent can accept it and it ends the marriage?
I've seen one case like that.
I wouldn't be surprised, because that would be, for some couples, a huge deal. In that particular case, did you have one parent supportive, or were both non-support?
No, one parent was very supportive. The other parent wouldn't accept it. The other parent was still making all kinds of crude remarks about it. And he ultimately lost custody.
It's unfortunate, but I'm not surprised given what goes on out there.
Well, he didn't, you know, obviously the end result was he didn't want custody.
Okay. Was this a gay son or daughter?
A son.
Do you see more prejudice in the industry for gay males than gay females? I mean, there's always the jokes about your girl's having a threesome and every frat boy in the universe wants to see girl-on-girl action. So I feel like it's more accepted, and let's not pretend that frat boys are the demographic that we're worried about knowing prejudice. But still, is it more prejudice that exists for male couples than females, or do you know? Can
you
tell?
To answer as a family law attorney within the court system,
sure.
And what I see within that context, I think there's probably more prejudice against the men. The women, when you go in with an adoption, for two women who are technically two mother figures, you just get a different reaction from the judges. And the men who I've taken in on surrogacies, I've had a much harder time. I've had absolutely no problem obtaining the ultimate order I needed for the surrogacy, but the judges definitely had a different reaction in those cases. Those were all done within California. I've not done that in Nevada, and there's very specific reasons, because our surrogacy statute in Nevada is not fixed by the domestic partnership bill. We still have some other issues where our law is not covering gay men within the surrogacy statute.
So if you wanted to have a surrogate in Nevada, what is the procedure? Is there a procedure for two men to have a baby using a surrogate?
Well, in Nevada, I would first probably advise, the nice thing about Nevada, which we've done over the years, is that we're so close to California. If we can do the surrogacy within California, we probably should. No, that's not because...
Can you do that without being residents of California? Does the law there allow it?
If the baby's born in California, yes. That's okay. Who's going to take jurisdiction over the baby.
And since you recommend those agencies for surrogates anyway, that's an easy transition.
A lot of your surrogates are in California. There's a higher percentage of them in California than there is in Nevada. But the surrogacy statute that we have in Nevada says that if the intended parents are married, so the domestic partnership bill takes care of that, but then says if you are the sperm and the egg donor, the intended parents have to be the sperm and egg donor. then you'll be treated as the natural parents under own circumstances. Well, the domestic partnership bill replaces the marriage part of statutes within all of our Nevada statutes, all of our family law statutes, but it doesn't necessarily replace the issue of you're not the sperm and the egg donor.
Yeah, obviously two men cannot be the egg donor.
And the other problem is a huge percentage of our surrogacies in Nevada don't fall in that category anyways. A lot of times our intended parents, even if they're heterosexuals, have had to obtain a third party sperm or egg depending on what's going on with them and why they can't have a baby themselves.
We have a call on line one. Natasha, what's your question? Do you have a question for Kim or me?
I actually have a question. I think it's more of a legal question for Kim. Kim, I am single, not married, so I went and got sperm. I ordered sperm through a sperm bank, and I'm trying to get pregnant that way, and I'm nervous because I thought that was kind of the end of it. Like, I wouldn't have to deal with custody or any legal entanglements because it's anonymous. But I've kind of been hearing rumors that now sperm donors can come back after the fact and, you know, try to track their kids down and maybe establish a parent relationship with the child. And is there any validity to that, or is that just kind of rumors that I'm hearing in the fertility world?
Well, there's a lot of news media coming out about those kind of issues across the United States right now. And the biggest issue we have in Nevada is that our anonymous sperm donor statute talks about donating the sperm to a married couple through a clinic. So as long as you did it through a clinic, you've got one half of that procedure down pat. But that statute says that that anonymous donor has no parental rights when it's with a married couple. Now, we've got anonymous sperm donors giving sperm all the time, and the sperm's being utilized for all kinds of couples and not necessarily married couples in Nevada right now, and no one's finding that they have parental rights in any way, shape, or form. But if you want to get really, really technical about it, you can read the statute is requiring that you need to go do a termination of that anonymous sperm donor's rights.
What about if the sperm was purchased through a California bank? Do they have different statutes in California?
Or out of state.
Yeah. And you bought yours in California, is that right,
I
Natasha?
I didn't. I bought mine in Virginia.
Oh, okay.
So it came way across state. And I, of course, didn't look into any of the fertility laws in Virginia, but is that something that I should? Like, are the rights determined by where sperm or dad donated?
Sperm or dad? Is that what you called him, Natasha?
Sperm or dad. I'm trying to give him some legitimacy. You know, should I be concerned about what the law is in Virginia, or if the, you know, if I'm getting inseminated here in Nevada, is it Nevada law that controls?
You're going to be dealing with the law where the baby ends up being born.
Oh, okay. So it's the Nevada. So if
Nevada.
I want to be super technical, I would come in and get those rights terminated.
Yeah.
Don't travel when you're in your last trimester is the story, Natasha. You don't want to end up somewhere weird.
It's to Virginia.
Yeah, it's hard. I get in these conversations with a lot of people because you can get away with not doing it. And a lot of people do. And they, you know, to pay the attorney's fees and go through the process of doing that can almost appear as if the lawyer's just trying to make more money. But it's about how technical you want to get about the reading of the law. I had a case where there was a embryo donation, and doctors, for example, Nevada Center for Reproductive Medicine's been doing embryo donations for a very long time into married heterosexual couples, and they've been having the babies, and the hospital doesn't know that this was an embryo donation, so they don't care. They just put them on the birth certificate. And I had Carson Hospital suddenly have a heart attack one day and say, we know this is an embryo donation. They found it in the medical records, and they refused to put either parents on the birth certificate. This had never happened before, and this is not something that's a common occurrence. And it's still not happening in any of the other hospitals. But they were able to sink their feet into the ground and say, nope, we're not budging. And I had to do a whole bunch of emergency motions to get the birth certificate taken care of.
Okay. So and there can be some mess later on. I guess you could just say, well, I hope that I don't have a sperm donor dad who's going to come back and 15 years or 5 years, but you just don't know.
Depends on how good that dad is, Natasha. I mean, if he's some real stud, you may want him to come back. Maybe you'll marry him.
He looks really good on paper. He actually looks better than anybody I'd really almost dated in my life. So
see?
I wouldn't mind
Perfect.
Him coming into my life, but, you know, what you put on paper might be different than when he shows up and he's really a beast.
Yeah, genius. I love looking at the catalogs good Hollywood of sperm donors.
Good Hollywood story. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
We are going to plug Junkie Clothing Exchange. They are one of our sponsors, and then we will come back after the break. But Junkie Clothing Exchange is located at 960 South Virginia Street. For those of you who are thinking of using a surrogate, getting pregnant, or just having sex, this is a great place. And otherwise, it's 8,800 square feet, and it's an antique mall and kind of thrift clothing store. So you can get cheap sort of maternity makeshift clothing and still look super cute. Or maybe a little role play if you're going to do some turkey basting at home, a little doctor outfit, you know, that sort of thing. But they have amazing stuff, and it's very inexpensive in this crazy economy. So Junkie Clothing Exchange, 960 South Virginia Street. It's open every day from 11 to 7 p.m. And now you'll hear from our sponsors, and then we'll get back with Kim Surratt. This is the Marilyn York Show, 823-1920.
Can't get the buzz at work? Now you can. Go to KBZZ.com and listen live anytime, anywhere. 1270 The Buzz.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on and on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. The legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Motor Transport Association. Trucks provide us with over 90% of our daily goods. Without trucks, we'd all be starving and naked. The trucks of today are safer than they ever have been. However, one of the biggest hazards on our roads concerning trucks is the no zone. Here's a good rule. If you can't see the driver's face in the truck's side view mirror, they can't see you. Also, trucks need nearly twice the time and room to stop as cars do, so don't cut in front too soon after passing. Look for the whole front of the truck in your rearview mirror before pulling in front. Then, don't slow down. The Nevada Motor Transport Association and Nevada's professional truck drivers are committed to making our roadways safer. Although drivers make many important stops during the day, delivering medicine to our hospitals, food and clothing to our stores, and munitions to our armed forces, they are just like you. Because the last stop of the day is the most important stop. when we all arrive safe at home.
For more information on trucks and their contribution to safer roads, visit our website at nmta.com.
The Corey Farley Show moves to our sister station, 1230 KJFK. Corey Farley on 1230 KJFK.
Weekdays at 3.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and we have Kim Surratt in the studio, and we're talking about domestic partnership registry, surrogacy and adoption with same-sex or LGBTQs. I like Q. I'm going to leave that on forever. 823-1920 is the phone number. If you have last-minute questions, we have a few more minutes to answer those questions. Let's talk to Gia. Gia, what's your question for Ms. Surratt or myself?
Well, I've been in a relationship with my girlfriend for the past 5 years, and we live together, and she makes all the money, and she's the breadwinner, and she's decided that she wants to leave me, and we're not registered as domestic partners or anything, and I'm just wondering, do I have any rights, or am I just SOL?
Did you guys buy any property together?
Yeah, we did. We have a house together, but my name isn't on it because I have bad credit.
Did you contribute anything to the purchase of that home besides your good looks?
My good looks and taste, my mad cooking skills, that's about it.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead, Kim.
This is exactly why we passed the domestic partnership bill, because in these scenarios, you are, as you quoted, SOL. You're in really bad shape.
So get back together with her, charm her, register.
Register, get your name on that house. With you not being on title to that house, what you're being dealt with is a civil matter. It's a civil lawsuit, so it's a business partnership. So it's not any different from living with a college roommate, and your college roommate owns a house, and you didn't put your name on it. Well, doesn't mean you get part of your college roommate's house now.
So did your girlfriend make any promises to you, Gia, or hold yourselves out to be, you know, dual owners of that home to third parties? That's sometimes helpful in these sticky situations.
She always called it our home, and, you know, I mean, we certainly had people over under that notion, but as soon as she decided that she didn't want to be together with me anymore, it quickly became her home, and I needed to get out. So I don't know if anybody would be willing to testify to
that. I doubt that would help too much, because I called it my apartment in LA, and I didn't own the building, unfortunately. So I doubt that would stretch. I don't know what you think, Kim, but
we have one case in the state of Nevada that we often use where there was a little bit of the court had gone in and did a little bit of equitable distribution for an unmarried heterosexual couple, but they were very, very strict about it. And the couple had for many, many, many years put themselves out as married, and they would allow a little bit of the equity in the house to be distributed, but no spousal support, no retirement. They wouldn't go into anything else in that case. So you're in one of those cases where it's very, very difficult to say what your outcome would be, and it would unfortunately be a civil lawsuit and not a family court matter.
Well, it looks like you know what to do next time, Gia, so you don't get in this situation. I wish you the best of luck getting out of this one. Call us and let us know next week how that works out for you. We're weeks down the road. Good luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
If you guys want to send questions in the future, for those of you who are too shy to get on the air, you can always get on the MarilynYorkShow.com website and email your questions. That's how we got today's internet question that we read on the air. So there are other options for those of you who are shy. Again, if you have questions for Kim Surratt, you can get on SurrattLaw.com, SurrattLaw.com. And we are on Facebook as well now. We have a Facebook fan page, The Marilyn York Show. And we also have my Facebook, so you can get on there for those of you Facebook junkies that like to do it on that. You can send me questions there as well that I can read on the air or become a fan, and we'll let you know what the next shows are. Next week, we're going to just talk about divorce. Imagine that. I've had this show for like, you know, a couple months now, and I've never had just a divorce show. So next week's show is just divorce. So call in next week with your questions, 823-1920, stories or comments. And thanks for coming by and listening to the show today and for your calls. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, Kim Surratt, for coming in.
Thank you.
talk radio that's fun to listen to. 1270 The Buzz, KBZZ Sparks, Reno, an American broadcasting station.